There's no use running to her for a second opinion, and you know if you did she'd say exactly the same thing. You've disobeyed us, and you need to be taught a lesson." He turned to Constanza, shaking his head. "As for you, young madam, I think it might be for the best if you and Skye were not to play together for a period of time, don't you think?" "We don't play," Constanza said with a scowl. "We talk and explore." "Yes," Titus said with a long, suffering sigh. "And visit parts of the ship you're expressly not allowed to go to. That, I'm afraid, can't go unpunished." He softened his voice now, as he always did when he was about to discuss something of genuine importance. "This ship is our home, our only real home, and we have to feel like we live here. That means feeling safe in the places where it's right to do so, and knowing where it isn't safe to go. Not because there are monsters or anything silly like that, but because there are dangers, adult dangers. Machinery and power systems, robots and drop shafts. Believe me, I've seen what happens when people go into places they're not meant to go, and it usually isn't very pleasant." Skye did not doubt his father for an instant. As head of security aboard a ship which generally enjoyed political and social harmony, Titus Hausmann's duties usually concerned accidents and the very occasional suicide. And although Titus had always spared Skye the more intimate details of how it was possible to die aboard a ship like the Santiago, Skye's imagination had done all the rest.
"I'm sorry," Constanza said.
"Yes, I'm sure you are, but that doesn't change the fact that you took my son into forbidden territory. I'll be speaking to your parents, Constanza, and I don't think they'll be best pleased. Now run along home, and perhaps in a week or two we'll review the situation. Very well?" She nodded, said nothing, and left along one of the curving corridors which radiated away from the intersection where Titus had cornered them. It was not really far to her parents' domicile. No part of the Santiago's major habitation section was far from any other part, but the ship's designers had cunningly avoided making any route too direct, except for the emergency crawlways and the train lines which reached down the spine. The snaking general-use corridors gave the illusion that the ship was considerably larger than its true size, and two families could live almost next to each other and feel that they lived in entirely different districts. Titus escorted his son back to their dwelling. Skye was sorry that his mother was outside, for, despite what Titus had said, her punishments were generally a shade more lenient than those his father prescribed. He dared to hope that she was already back aboard ship, having returned from her shift early, the work on the hull completed ahead of schedule, and that she would be waiting for them when they reached the nursery. But there was no sign of her. "In," Titus said. "Clown will take care of you. I'll be back to let you out in 2, possibly 3 hours.
"I don't want to go in."
"No, and if you did, it wouldn't be much of a punishment, would it?" The nursery door opened. Titus propelled his son into the room without stepping across the threshold himself.
"Hello, Skye," said Clown, who was waiting for him.
There were many toys in the nursery, and some of them were capable of holding limited conversations, even fleetingly giving the impression of true intelligence. Skye sensed that these toys were built for children of about his age, designed to mesh with a typical 3-year-old's view of the world. In most cases, he had begun to find them simplistic and stupid not long after his second birthday. But Clown was different, not really a toy at all, although not quite a person either. Clown had been with Skye for as long as he remembered, confined to the nursery, but not always present even then. Clown could not touch things, or allow himself to be touched by Skye, and when Clown spoke, his voice did not come from quite the place where Clown